Ramsey TV.
I got the grain going on purpose here. I know I got the grain. I want the grain. I hope you like the grain. I am digging the grain. Here we go. Look at this. Martin Zender here, and I'm going to ask you this question. Where are you going to spend eternity, you loser? Come on, loser. What's taking you so long? Where are you going to spend eternity? Hey, boo-boo. We got to know. Somebody give the gospel to Ranger Smith. Here's the gospel, boo-boo. You got to believe in Jesus, and you better hurry up, or you're going to go to hell for eternity.
Hey, Yogi, does hell hurt you?
Well, I don't know, boo-boo. I think the temperature's pretty high. I think the chances are pretty good that it's going to burn.
Hey, that sounds pretty bad, Yogi.
That's why we got to go tell Ranger Smith. We got to give him this tract. It's full of hypocrisy.
Yeah, it is. Martin Zender, welcome to the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. It's hard to believe that people can be so hypocritical in one little piece of paper. Yes, this thing is called Where Will You Spend Eternity? It's published, or should I say it's regurgitated. It's squeezed through the bowels of religion by the Fellowship Tract League, P.O. Box 164, Lebanon, Ohio. And let's begin. Dear soul, if you were to die right now, do you know whether you would go to heaven or to hell for all eternity? If you would die right now. Well, what they don't realize, first of all, is that if you die right now, you're going to be dead. Let's ignore that for a second. My friend, when people start a tract, when a religious company starts a tract with my friend, you can be sure that they're about to threaten you with eternal hellfire.
Hey, Yogi.
Yeah, boo-boo, I already told you, it hurts. My friend, I am asking you the most important question of your entire life. Your answer will determine where you will spend eternity. Did you hear that? Your answer will determine where you will spend eternity. Jesus Christ on the cross doesn't determine where you will spend eternity. No, it is your answer that determines that. The question is, are you saved? The question is not if you are a member of a church, but are you saved? It is not if you are leading a good life, but are you saved? It is not if you are working on it or hoping to be, but are you saved? The Bible says we must be saved, Acts 4:12. Yeah, there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Yes, everybody must be saved. Actually, by saying this, they are proving the salvation of all. Not proving it, but they are suggesting it with their own evil breath. Yes, we must be saved indeed, because if we're not, then Jesus Christ died in vain. His death was a failure. His goal to take away the sins of the world, well, he fell short of it, i.e. he sinned. To be saved, you must first admit that you are a sinner. As it is written, there's no one righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Yeah, we know that. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, you morons. And by the way, as I always say, if Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago to take away the sins of the world, how is it that I'm born a sinner bound for hell? I don't understand it. That's because it's not understandable, because it's inconsistent. Jesus Christ did take away the sins of the world 2,000 years ago. And then, at some point, Jesus Christ will give everyone faith in the fullness of time to come into that life that he won for everyone at the cross. There's no one righteous, no, not one. That's the general state of humanity at the time Jesus died on the cross. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Yes, if nothing was done about it, then maybe we could talk about eternal torment. Hey, Yogi. Yeah, I told you, boo-boo. I told you 1,000 times, quit asking me.
Okay, Yogi.
Go find Ranger Smith. I got to tell him about this tract.
Here we go. Yeah, okay. Friends, here we go again. Your sins have made you fall short of God's glory, and you are unable to meet his requirements for getting into heaven. I'm unable to meet his requirements? Then why are you writing this tract? To tell us about the wonderful thing Jesus Christ did? No, here's why. Secondly, you need to realize that someone loved you and died for you. Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sins, okay? The next statement should be, and it worked. Congratulations, you're saved. Now may God give you the faith to acquaint you with this fact that I'm telling you, you're saved. God is no longer reckoning your sins against you, no longer reckoning your offenses against you. He's now looking at you as a new humanity because the old humanity died with Christ. No, that's not the route they go. Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sins, to give you an opportunity to go to heaven. Can you believe it? There it is, plainly stated, naked on the page. Jesus Christ, quote, Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sins and to give you an opportunity to go to heaven. In other words, to give you an opportunity to be saved from death, from your sins. So Jesus Christ didn't do it. He just gave you an opportunity. So this is a complete contradiction on its face. Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sins and give you an opportunity. So in other words, Jesus Christ on the cross, attempting to pay for your sins, failed. When Jesus died on the cross, his blood paid the penalty for your sins? Apparently not. Realize that you cannot do anything to earn or help earn your way to heaven. I can't do anything? Listen to this. Here's the whitewash on the tomb. This is the whitewash, otherwise known as BS. Okay? Realize you cannot do anything to earn or help earn your way to heaven. Jesus already completely paid for it. Completely paid for it. Here's the lie. Listen to this. He now wants to give you a home in heaven. You must realize that when Jesus saves you, it is forever. Jesus did not stay dead. They don't even believe that he died. He rose from the grave and is now alive in heaven, interceding for those who have trusted in him. By faith, receive Jesus Christ. Jesus died to give the gift of eternal life to everyone. Blah, 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 blah. Heaven, like all their gifts, blah, 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 is of no value unless you receive it for yourself. Here's the old birthday analogy. I give you a birthday gift, but unless you open it, then it's no good. Have you ever given anybody a gift like that? You give them the birthday gift, or say a wedding. You give them a wedding present, they don't open it right then. They open it later. What does it matter? You have given it to them. It's theirs. If they don't open it or not, that's their own stupid fault. But it doesn't mean it's not theirs. Is not the present sitting in their house. Is not the present piled up with the other presents. Just by the, who cares if they haven't opened it? It's theirs. It's in their account. You've given it. The transaction is completed. It's a done deal. They just haven't opened it. Big deal. The analogy, of course, the proper analogy, even though that analogy works if you apply it correctly, is that, you know, God, through Christ, deposited millions, millions, millions of dollars in our account. It only remains for somebody to tell us it's still in our account. We're still rich. We just don't know about it. That's what faith is. Acquaints you with a fact. Faith does not make, turn a fiction into a fact. Faith acquaints you with a fact. I'll say that again. Faith acquaints us with the fact of salvation that was done 2,000 years ago. It does not turn a fiction into a fact. That's what they're saying. Christ died for your sake on the cross, but that's a fiction. He really didn't do it unless you say that he did it. In other words, your belief turns a fiction, Christ did not save you on the cross, into a fact. Christ did save you on the cross. Did he or didn't? That's what I'd like to know. Well, he did. Faith doesn't make a fiction true. Faith acquaints you with a truth. Man, I make sense for a living. Is it a burden sometimes? Would I rather be doing anything else? No, this is what I do. I was born to do this. I'm doing what I'm born to do. And it makes me happy. All right. The Bible says, yeah. Dear soul, here we go. When they call you dear soul, that's even worse than dear friend. You're about to be burned to a crackly crunch. If you're willing to stop trying to get to heaven, and yet you're telling me how I have to try to get to heaven, and completely trust Jesus, but they're not, see, they're making my trust in Jesus the thing that gets me saved, not the faith of Jesus Christ, my trust in Jesus. They're telling me that I better trust in my trust, I better work up some trust real quick, but you can't do anything to be saved, except you got to work up a bunch of trust, a bunch of faith, you got to do that, but this is completely Christ's work, you see, huh? How? Oh, here's something. Listen to this, dear soul. If you're willing to stop trying to get to heaven your way. Oh, your way's better? You morons from the Fellowship Tract League in Lebanon, Ohio. This is your way. It's not God's way.
If you're willing to stop trying to get to heaven your way and completely trust Jesus Christ, then you can be saved right now. Right now.
Well, I thought I was saved 2,000. No, you're not saved 2,000 years ago. Saved right now. Depending on what? Depending on my faith. It's now up to you. There it is, ladies and gentlemen, on the back page of this monstrosity. You see there? It's now up to you.
Okay. Just bow your head. If you don't bow your head, this, gotta bow your head. Watch. Watch me. Gotta bow your head. You must do this or you will spend eternity in hell. Watch. You must bow your head.
Don't be thinking you're going to do it this way. You're not going to, just stop bowing your head. Don't do this. Don't do this. Watch the kitchen cam. No. 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 Yes.
Just bow your head and pray to God in your own words. Submit to Him. You're a guilty sinner who deserves hell.
Which hell? Gehenna? Hades? Tartarus? Three different Greek words that the common translators translated with hell. What the hell are you talking about?
But with all your heart, you believe Jesus Christ can save you from hell. Jesus Christ can save you from hell.
Oh, darn it. I wish he just would have done it while he was on the cross. He can save you from hell. What would have been necessary for Jesus Christ to have actually just done the work? Save me from hell. Another hour on the cross? Maybe another few lashes with a whip, maybe 10 more slaps. What would it have taken? If they had broken his bones there at the end, just, I wish he would have taken care of business. Because now I got all this pressure on me. I got all this pressure to force myself to completely trust in Jesus. It's all up to me now. That's what they say. That's what they say. It's now up to you.
Yes. You're a guilty sinner. If you have chosen not,
oh, here we go.
I have a feeling something very bad's gonna happen, Yogi.
This is very bad, boo-boo. If you have not chosen to admit your guilt and to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, please read what the Bible says.
Quote from the Bible, Yogi.
I'm gonna quote from a terrible translation. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Some people believe in this life, some people don't. This is because God gives belief to some people in this life. To other people, He does not give belief in this life. But it is in the eons to come that we will see the fullness of God's grace. Idiots like this, where will you spend eternity? It's up to you, according to them. Idiots like this tell you that now is the one and only time. Now is the one and only time. No. Many people are going to understand the cross at the great white throne because it is a God-timing thing. As an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. 1 Corinthians 15:22. Not everyone understands the truth at once. God has his favorites that he brings in early. But he always brings in the rest later, and he has to. Why? 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity. 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 and 6, find it somewhere around there. Jesus Christ is a correspondent ransom for all. The testimony in its own eras. Testimony in the Greek, the marking. The marking of what Jesus Christ did, what he accomplished on the cross, will be seen in the fullness of time. In its own eras, a perfect corroborating verse to 1 Corinthians 15:22. I love the truth. I hate this tract.